Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Jeff Nowak, and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, Kyle Mosley. Kyle, editor and publisher of Saints News Network. You can find it online along with for Sports Illustrated, and also covers the Pelicans, Pelican Scoop, and Kyle, I think you got one more, right?
HBCU.
Okay. Kyle does a great job not only covering the Saints and his crew, also covering college football. Kyle, I'll get this out right out the way, and then we'll talk Saints and NFL. Your thoughts on what you are seeing now in college football? It's not unexpected. USC, UCLA jumping to the Big Ten. This is all about, for me, networks pushing them to say, hey, listen, we get lousy games. You know, we got to play this at 11 and 12 o'clock. And again, you're catching Vanderbilt and Missouri, Rutgers and Maryland. Oh, come on. Oh, we got to change that. And so that you're bringing it in. And the consolidation of what looks to be two major powers emerging, and that's the Big Ten and the SEC. I think the third one will be the Big 12. I think the Pac 12. I think it's gone pecan, to be honest with you. I don't think you're going to see that anymore in a few years. I think a lot of those teams are going to get eaten up by the Big 12. In fact, they look like a lot of Big 12 teams, to be honest, the way they play football. But your thoughts on it? I know you're a traditionalist like me, but you know, I think you and I both feel the same. Change is going to happen. You like it or not, it's going to happen.
Yeah, what Otis Redding said, change is going to come, right?
Yep, right.
So, and hey, Jeff, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Good. Bottom line is, and I just had a conversation with Ralph Cooper in Houston about the HBCUs with the possibility of a super conference there as well. The revenue, the money that's being thrown at these institutions and the conferences, they have to recognize, they have to put better brands and better, something that's watchable for the fans, right? And in doing so, how can each of these conferences be able to put a better brand out there? And the SEC is far above everybody else right now. You know, you have interest across the board. They were able to attract Texas A&M a few years ago, and now Texas and Oklahoma are going to be there in a couple of seasons. And you look at what's happening in the Pac-12, I just think nobody really cares. And I'm not saying it in a negative fashion about the institutions, but how many times do you say, oh, I just have to see what's going on with Oregon and what's happening with Washington and Washington State? It's not there. The interest has waned. In order for these schools to do a better job and to attract better audiences, they have to be winning and they have to put more resources into their programs. But if you have these deals where, let's say, a USC and a UCLA is going to make nearly $1 million per game just off of the revenue that the Big Ten, I don't know if they're going to be called the Big 12 or whatever, will be able to make. I mean, why not do it? You have to be able to make that move, right?
You got it. Now, the next big chess piece and they're sitting in the catbird seat with this, is Notre Dame. Because now you're going to have two conferences vying for you. Because the SEC wants Notre Dame too. Don't believe all that stuff about the SEC don't want Notre Dame. No, they would love to have Notre Dame get into the SEC. And you know the Big Ten does. But the SEC, now Notre Dame, and I think what Freeman is piecing together there as a coach, and you look at that recruiting classes, that they are going to be the next big fish to come out of the water.
Yeah, that's a good point. Young coach. He has attracted a lot of great recruits. They have an international following.
Yeah, that's right.
They're like the Cowboys and the Yankees. You know, anywhere you go, any city you go, you have somebody who loves Notre Dame. And they will come in a full contingent to be a part of that audience, right? So I think right now, Mike, it would be wise for the SEC to make a major push to get them.
Yep.
Because Notre Dame travels well. And
they sure,
you know,
do.
Hey, that's just more money, man. More money, more money, more money.
Now, Kyle, I saw you posted an interview with Dejon Dixon earlier today or yesterday, maybe. What did you take away from that interview? To me, he's been one of the more intriguing wide receivers out there, with the caveat that it's going to be incredibly difficult to make this Saints roster at wide receiver with the additions of Jarvis and the return of Michael Thomas.
Right, right. And Jeff, I'm pretty much know that you and John and those guys, you've seen firsthand that he's a good specimen.
Big dude.
Right. Kyle, I'll tell you the story because I live not far from Thibodeau. So I watched basically every game Dejon played. And first time I see him in a uniform, I took a good look and I looked at him physically and I said, damn, Tim Rebo somehow, some way got Marcus Colston to come out of retirement because he looks, you know, physically like what Colston looked like. He's not quite as tall, but he's a big guy. And he made so many contested catches. He is so competitive. And Chase told me the story. Chase 4K told me the story. Okay, they upset Kansas in Kansas. And, you know, it's whoop-de-doo. Hey, man, listen, you can enjoy it, okay? That morning, Chase gets a phone call early from Dejon. His deal is, hey, let's go work out. Kansas game's over.
Yeah.
Kansas game's over. And so, man, I think Dejon, well, I agree with Jeff in watching all the practices and OTAs we've been able to see. It's going to be difficult for the 53, but he's going to have a spot. As on the practice squad player.
To him, and you know, Mike, what I gathered from talking to him, he's very confident.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, and I did ask him, I said, what separates you from the other guys? He said, my size. That was it, my size. And think about it. And when I replayed his NFL combine tape, he ran a 4.6, then a 4.58, right? And at his size, the strength, and what he could be able to do, why not put this kid on your special teams unit if you're not sure right
now? And he was working. He was working with the Gunners.
Yeah.
He was working with the Gunners.
And that's another point I got from him. He's willing to do whatever he can and whatever the coaches want him to do to be a part of the New Orleans Saints organization.
Kyle, I'll tell you this story. Tim Rebo told me that he begged them at Nichols to play on special teams. Tim was like, Dejon, we're not putting you on special teams, Hoss. You know, we're not doing it. Listen, I appreciate what you wanting to do to help the team, but I ain't putting you on special teams. No, you play receiver, and we good. And it's funny how, you know, he's done it in spurts. I'd like to see a little bit more consistency out of him, but you're right about his size. I mean, he is a huge man. The other guy's been Kirk Merritt, who played right up the road for me at Destrehan. And, man, he was one of the most highly recruited players coming out of Destrehan. He goes to Oregon. That didn't work out. He goes to A&M, got in a little bit of trouble there. He's out of there. He goes to East Community Mississippi College, junior college. And then Arkansas State, he lit it up for 2 years and goes to Miami. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he got some opportunities. But I think nothing beats experience. And we've seen it. Jeff and I have watched it along with Bob. We've caught every practice we can see. And the confidence of these two young men, both Kirk Merrick and also Dejon Dixon, that they really they have it in their head that they're going to succeed. And Dejon's working with CJ, Curtis Johnson.
Yeah, yeah. He's working with him. He said he always contacts DJ as well on plays and how he could be able to get better. But he said Coach Rizzi has been the toughest of all of the coaches, you know?
Yep.
So that's special teams again, right? So I like what I had heard from the young man. I think he's very personable. I think he has a confidence that you need to have at the position of wide receiver. But I also believe you know how it is, Mike. You can get a sense that some guys have it and some guys don't. He has it. And I think he can be a playmaker if given the opportunity.
Yeah, and I think he's going to see a lot of playing time in preseason. I think you're going to see him play a lot in the preseason, and you can't miss him. When he gets out on that field, he's a big guy, and you say, man, just throw it up. And listen, I've seen it so many times throughout his years at Nicholls State. It was, you know, Chase would kind of launch it, and Dejon would go up. Arms, hands, swinging at it, and he comes down with it. And they did everything, double team, bracket, triple team, and they didn't stop him. And Rebo told us during the Manning camp, the one regret is that I didn't throw it to him more. And I said, listen, I've been telling you that since day one. Man, he'd get 12 throws a game. It wouldn't be that, you know, that sort of deal because he's that good of a player. Kyle, hold on to where you're at. We got to take a break, and we'll come back with more of Kyle Mosley from the Saints News Network, talking Saints, NFL, and also certainly college football right after this break on the Big 870. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, we have Kyle Mosley on with us from the Saints News Network, also part of the Sports Illustrated group. Kyle, I'm looking at the Saints. For me, I think the real strength of this football team is in the secondary. Kyle, I don't ever remember a Saints secondary this good. When you're talking about Marshawn Lattimore, Paulson Adebo, and I think Lattimore is the best corner ever to play with the Saints, the very best. And then you acquired Bradley Roby, and he's the third piece of the puzzle, but you didn't bring Alante Taylor in over here to watch. I mean, and he really looked good, Kyle. He really was impressive during the OTAs and the three sessions we got to see. And in the secondary, yes, you lost some continuity with Marcus Williams and with Malcolm Jenkins, but you come back with Tyrann Mathieu, Marcus May, and you got Chauncey Garner-Johnson, who you can make the argument best slot guy in the game.
He'd definitely make that argument.
And he would make it too, as Jeff say. So, Jeff, come on. You and I, we've seen a lot of this. You and I have seen a lot of this, Kyle. They have never had that much talent in the secondary in one shot. And P.J. Williams, who can play that dime right. Safety. Man, that is a lot of talent.
A plethora of talent, right? It's a good problem to have when you have that much talent. And I think when you look at how Paulson Adebo going into his second year, how he will mature and evolve more in that position, to have playmakers like Tyrann Mathieu there, I guess – what's going to happen with Marcus May is one of the questions. How will he fit within the system, you know? But other than that, I have to agree with you. I think the one thing about Marcus Williams was he was a great talent, very physical young man. But sometimes he didn't use his instincts as well as a guy like Tyrann Mathieu would. So I would like to see how that would help the Saints and elevate the Saints. But when you have corners that can be able to match up well you pose a problem for a quarterback, right? And if you have safeties that could be able to make some plays like Chauncey Gardner-Johnson as well as Matthew, you really put more pressure on that quarterback. So I like what the Saints have done in building up that secondary.
Now, we've talked a lot about the over-under for the Saints this year. We kind of landed on over 8. I think 8 is the current number that it's at. What would you land for the Saints win total for the 2022 season?
Oh, man, you're putting me on pressure.
I sure
right
am. People are going to take, man, your advice as gospel, so keep that in mind.
Yeah, look, I saw that earlier. What's his name? Emory Hunt. They were on CBS Sports talking about the Saints over 8. Yeah, you have to say over 8.
Yes, I think it's easy on that.
Yeah, that's easy. I project the Saints to be at 10 to 11, to be honest with you. That's how I see it. A lot of people may say, oh, he's smoking that stuff again. But anyway, bottom line, I think the Saints are going to make some noise and really what Dennis Allen has in store for him with all the talent that he has on both sides of the football, you have to say this is one of the best Saints teams in a long time as well, Mike. Now, what's going to happen with Alvin Kamara? What's going to happen? Do they bring in a veteran? Are they able to trade for a veteran at running back as insurance? That's what we need to figure that out. Will Mike Thomas be ready at the start of the year or more in the middle of the season? That's another thing. Will Jameis be fully ready to go day one as well? So there's a lot of variables there, but to say the Saints will be under 8, I think that's really doing them a misjustice.
Yeah, you know, one of the things, Greg Cosell, who I've done some work with, and he was at the first OTA, him and I got to sit down and talk, and he's like, Mike, one of the things is, in looking over the NFL, this team, when you look at talent and depth, defensive line, secondary, you bringing in Jarvis with Chris Olave, like you said, we don't know anything about the health of Michael Thomas yet, but you see improvement with Marquez Callaway. Deontay is a guy that, man, you know, I don't like him doing those little receiver screens. I think you get hit too much doing that. But he said, you know, the receiving core has changed dramatically, and you got a couple young kids here that can play. I'm in the same belief with Greg that you're going to have to go out and trade for a running back. Once you didn't do the deal with David Johnson, now you got to flip it now. You got to go out and trade for a veteran running back, knowing that there's going to be some time missed with Alvin. That he, you know, Greg said, you know, you look across the board, there's not a lot of teams that have that type talent and depth across the board as the Saints do.
Mike, I got to say this also. Pat Kerwin said the same thing on XM radio. I mean, you look at the Saints' depth, and you have to appreciate how the team was being built and how they put together a team that you look at some of the areas, you know, you kind of question what's happening here or there. But at the most critical positions, we do have good depth. Now, look. The addition of Andy Dalton, that's something that is understated as well. Let's say something does happen and Jameis won't be able to start. You have an NFL starter there. You have a guy that you know who's a veteran who could be able to come in. Last season when Jameis went down, we didn't have that same sort of security. You know, so I like what the Saints have done. I can appreciate how Mickey Loomis has been able to make these deals, how Kyle Hartley was able to whittle that $70 million surplus down to where it was manageable and being able to sign some key players, right? But all in all, the New Orleans Saints has a very good team.
Your thoughts on Taysom Hill and how that transition will go from quarterback to the flex tight end?
Taysom is the X factor for the Saints. And, okay, let me throw this out at you. And this is just something I've been thinking. Let's say they can't find somebody at running back. Could you put Taysom in? Right? If they need somebody to kind of fill in to do the Alvin Kamara role, S-type role with Carmichael calling the shots, could that be Taysom Hill? He's a nightmare with any type of slot cornerback and linebacker. Taysom Hill is the advantage. So I think Taysom Hill could be the guy that we kind of look at the end of the season and say, hey, if it were not for Taysom, the Saints could not have won X amount of games.
See, I would challenge that with, I don't think you're ever going to see Taysom line up as a traditional running back.
I agree with Jeff.
But I think you will see, especially when Kamara is out, assuming he gets suspended, a lot of that QB power action that is proven to be so successful. You might also see him line up at the H and be, you know, get some inside handoffs. But I do think that he is going to be a major factor in the run game because you are going to be limited. But yeah, I think how Taysom operates, one of the things that I'm fascinated is going to be how valuable is he in fantasy football? Because all of a sudden he's been useless as a quarterback the last few years. All of a sudden as a tight end, man, I'm drafting him. You know, if he shows up and all of a sudden he's getting some handoffs, he's getting some quarterback snaps, he's getting red zone work. I mean, that's fascinating when you really think about it.
Yeah. In fantasy, think about this, Jeff. Would you say he would account for 6 touchdowns, 7, 8 for next season? Those are the type of things that those guys in fantasy are going to look at with Taysom, right? And I think you're right. Taysom may not be the traditional type of running back, but the Saints have to be able to utilize his speed and his talent. And it would be I would say this. I would not like to see him just sitting on the sideline. But I know that the Alvin Kamara situation predicates what's going to really happen for the future in that backfield. Now, the one thing about David Johnson, and I watched him here in Houston, I think the Saints did what they did and not signed him to a huge contract, and I can appreciate it because he was not effective in Houston.
Yeah, I don't think David Johnson is necessarily the answer to as the veteran running back kind of mold. But I do think that you're going to, if you're the Saints, be watching and waiting for guys to shake off of rosters throughout the offseason.
That's a good point, Jeff. And there's going to be some guys who may be lost through attrition. There may be some guys who you have a young guy that has just come in and throwing a veteran off the roster, right? So I think the Saints will have some opportunities to be able to pick up somebody during training camp. Before training camp, I'm not too sure, but there's going to be some able bodies that the Saints can be able to bring in.
I think it's a trade myself. I think if you haven't done it now, then I think you must have someone in mind, and maybe there's some talk. Hey, let's talk a little bit later. What you willing to give up for us? And you know, listen, that happens in the NFL, and you never know what you don't know of who could shake loose in this league.
Yeah. What about Kenyon Drake? His name has popped up quite a bit. You know, that's a possibility.
And Drake can
Miami
catch the ball.
Has a whole lot of running backs.
And he can catch the football.
He can catch the football, and he's fast. But Miami has so many running backs, I don't know how they're going to be able to keep all of those guys.
Yeah, you're right about that, Kyle. Kyle, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Man, we really appreciate it. Good luck to you, buddy, and great talking to you again.
All right, thank you.
Thanks so much. Kyle Mosley from the Saints News Network also writes for Sports Illustrated. We'll be back to finish it up here on the Big 870 right after this break.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.